There is a word in the third chapter of John's Gospel that I read many years ago, and I think at some time or another I must have preached it round all the fellowships with some bearing or in some application. And certainly I seem to think that when we were together at Swanwick some years ago, God impressed this verse on my heart then. But nevertheless, to the precious word that cannot wear out, nor lose its effectiveness, nor be narrowed down to one man's preaching. Hallelujah. I want you to turn again. In John chapter 3, in verse 34, "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure. You have unto him," but if you've got a good version, it should be italicized, and God is making a completely general statement and not a particular one. "God never gives the Holy Spirit by measure." He can't. What a wonderful thing that is. Because the Holy Spirit is God. He's God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what a thrill it is when you realize this. This comes into your heart with full force to make you want to shout and dance and say, "Oh Lord, no measurement anywhere." Glory. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Isn't this a wonderful thing? That the Holy Ghost is never given by measure. Sometimes we've reminded ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ is a through person. When you read in your epistles, for instance, you find that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Or we come to things through him. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again and ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and he is there, the mediator of the new covenant. And the new covenant is simply the person of the Holy Ghost. All the virtues in the risen Christ, through whom the Holy Ghost is being poured forth, come to us in the Spirit. The Spirit comes through Jesus, that virtuous, glorious, wonderful person who took sin and the old man and everything and did away with it. He never held it. He took it all away. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Wonderful work of God that he dealt with it in toto, in a person, praise God, and dealt with all that sin could ever be in a person, and dealt with it in totality. Hallelujah. And he went back there, and the Holy Ghost comes down through him. And this is why and only how we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because the Holy Ghost is coming through him to us. What a glorious thing this is. That Jesus is mediating the Holy Spirit. What a precious truth for us to understand this. And yet there are so many who seem to have limited experiences of the Spirit. It seems that they tie up their little bits of ideas and formulate their doctrines. And it's a matter of sort of going so far and no further. This is what we believe. And something like that. When you and I are supposed to have what God believes. That's what it's all about. That we are to have what Jesus believes. Don't you see? Although, and sometimes in these days, I wonder if there's an overemphasis upon it. We have an abundance of ministry telling us to exercise faith. And we talk about faith-building sermons and faith-building tapes and faith-building books and faith-building testimonies. All to bring people to faith. And what a terrible thing it is. They come to the limits and the little capacities of their own faith. And that's about the measure they ever get. Where we are told in Scripture that we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that Paul says in the same Galatian letter, that's told us, in these two things are in the second chapter, he says, I'm living by the faith of Jesus Christ. I don't need faith-building sermons and tapes and books. I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. No wonder this man was an unlimited man. No wonder this man wrote another letter and talked about being filled with all the fullness of God. No wonder. People with their little bits of faith are just about filled with the fullness of themselves. And I want to warn you that unless there comes this tremendous exchange in your life where you get off your own faith, see, and have the faith of Jesus Christ, you'll always live a little limited life around yourself, around your own ideas, around your own Bible interpretations, around your own beliefs. Whereas the blessed Holy Ghost, God has come down here to swamp you right out of it. Hallelujah. You know what a swamp is, don't you? I don't know whether it's the best figure, but that's the word I used. It's ground that's completely waterlogged. It's just about full up and saturated. And there it is. And what a glorious thing it is that God's come to swamp and overwhelm and overfill and overflow you and make you like God. Praise His wonderful name. This is what the gospel is all about, beloved. How terrible it is then that we should live in our little limitations. The Holy Ghost isn't given with measure. God doesn't dole out little dribs and drabs and bits and pieces of the Holy Ghost. That's not what He does. And when people get this wrong, they end up in little bits of experience. They have a little bit of tongues. And if you sit by them long enough, you can learn them and repeat them. It's a horrific thing. And they're told, oh, well, of course, that's the sign I got, and that's all I've ever got. I haven't got the language. That's a lot of nonsense. A lot of nonsense, and God save us from it. The stultifying, narrowing, devilish scheme that is, hatched in hell and preached and written about. So they have little bits of tongues and little bits of prophecies. And pastors are kept busy sort of keeping going and go on. Yeah, that's right. Don't you feel washed up? Go on. And all this sort of thing. And they, oh, beloved, will you get your eye off yourself and fix it on God? Will you? Hallelujah. Why, I see my brother Dick Cand is here. I remember a time when he stood up in Longcroft. I don't know, you may have heard that name. Doesn't matter if you didn't. That's not important. And he talked about God Unlimited. I'd never heard the phrase before. I don't think it was original with him now. But I'd never heard it before. I don't know whether it was original, was it, brother? I heard you talking about God Unlimited. And when I looked at your face, I thought, well, you believed it too. This if you only knew the love of God. If you, oh, may God help us here during these days, whilst we are gathered here, beloved, to come to an understanding of this immensity of God, the only valid driving force of eternity. This love which made him do what he did. Oh, this love of God, so that for love of us, he can hold back nothing. I know that he does in grace deal gently with us. I remember a time when I was reading in the life of Jacob, how that when Esau wanted to leave some men with Jacob, old Jacob said, oh no, he said, if I should overdrive them one day, the whole flock should perish. I'll lead on softly. Amen. That's the great shepherd speaking through that little shepherd, Jacob. If I should overdrive the flock, well, this is what's happening, you know, you go to a meeting, you get good going, go work on that convention. You overdrive them one day and you've got a lot of dead sheep round you, though they might be shouting glory. Doesn't matter about that. If you play this tape back, you'll hear glory coming back off the tape. That's not the important thing. The tremendous thing God does lead us on gently, in his immensity, he just illumines us and works upon us, but oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Even in his gentleness, and even in the little that we're comprehending of it, it's all immense. And what God wants us to understand, beloved, it's like the seed and the tree, all the trees in the seed. If you only just get the little bit, you've got it all. It's all the same all the way through. It's utterly consistent. It doesn't get better. Your understanding and appreciation of it gets better. And this, then, is the glorious life into which God brings us. Alas, alas, because of partiality and doctrinal preference, we make emphases along certain lines. There's one great thing that I'm constantly calling upon God for. I don't have to put it into words. It's become the fixed attitude of my heart. Oh God, I want to be able to minister thee. That's what I want. Because as Jesus Christ was the mediator of the new covenant, that is, all the Holy Ghost is pouring through his pure heart so that we can have his pure heart. All the Holy Ghost is pouring through the constituted law of his being so that we can have those laws written in our new pure heart to constitute the new manhood in us. And as the Holy Ghost is pouring through his mental processes through that glorious head, so we can have the mind of Christ. And as the blessed Holy Ghost is pouring through his bowels, excuse the word if you're squeamish, but I'm never going to leave it, as pouring through his bowels, if Jesus Christ had no bowels, he wouldn't have been a man. And the Holy Ghost is pouring through his bowels so I can have his bowels of compassion and bowels of mercies. You see, and as the Holy Ghost is pouring through His harmonious being, so I can have peace, His peace. Do you see this? And as the Holy Ghost is flowing through all His great capacities to feel and to know and to understand, so I can feel and I can know and I can understand. For there is a feeling and there is a knowing and there is an understanding in the inward man, not in the fleshy realms. I get a little bit afraid when people sit in meetings and they say, oh, I felt the power coming on me. I've heard so much of it. I felt the power coming on me. You tell me once where Jesus Christ ever felt the power coming on him. He's the normal man, not some fantastical neurotic person that quivers and quakes and shakes and sweat streams down them and they feel that rain's falling on them or winds are blowing on them. Jesus Christ is the norm. You're to live a normal life in this spiritual realm. An absolutely normal life. Glory! Are you living a normal life? No, I'm not saying that when you really get baptized in the Spirit, tremendous things don't happen to you. Some of you have heard me say this before. Tremendous things happened to me when God baptized me in the Spirit. In the very beginning, but glory to God, that's all worn off now. And I'm not... No, I mean that. I don't want to be running around in napkins. I've grown out of those things. I'm not fishing around to get an anointing in the meeting, then I know I've got to do something. God's rational by heaven's standards. And every true man of God is rational by heaven's standards. In fact, there isn't any other man. The Lord God has slain every other man. Amen. And so Jesus Christ lived on this earth. And the Holy Ghost is coming down through that blessed Jesus Christ. He's coming through that man, that I should have his manhood. Oh, glory. This is what I am predestinated in. Perhaps you never heard the word in put with predestination. You always heard the word to put with it. The wrong, well, it's a right preposition because it's in Scripture. But you see, that's talking about a predestinating act before time ever began. So it had to be to, because it was in the mind and heart of God before ever He made the world. But now I'm predestined in it. Amen. I'm in the predestination, going to my destination. Amen. And my predestination is Jesus. Blessed. Bless Him. And because Father didn't give the Holy Ghost by measure to Jesus, He hasn't given the Holy Ghost by measure to me. Praise Him. He's determined to treat me like His Son. He's determined to treat me like Jesus. He's determined to make me know I really am His Son. And if I don't touch the glory, well, I can't, about all this nonsense about don't touch the glory. You can't. You can only deceive yourself. You can't touch Jesus Christ's glory. You are part of it. Be content. Amen. You can't touch His crown. You are part of it. Be content. Hallelujah. You can't take His throne. You can share it. Be content. Here then, beloved, is the glory of Christ. And you and I are predestinated in Him. And I want to tell you, you won't get to the Father unless you know this glorious truth. I'm the way, He said. I'm the way to the Father. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It's so wonderful. You're not looking for tinglings coming on the palms of your hand or quicknings running up and down your spine. or water running down your neck, or some other such thing as this, unless you sleep in one of those huts on a rain. I just thought of that at the last minute. As long as you didn't get cold feet, it's all right. Nay, beloved, we're to understand God's normality. I want to tell you that the power and glory of God has run down the drain of men's fleshy outreachings. Because men and women can't abide to walk in the ways of the Spirit that makes a man God's normal man. You see, so many of us miss what God wants to do because of our own limitations. I'll illustrate that in a moment. Turn with me to the Old Testament, into the second book of Kings. Second Kings 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and that the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Beloved, she was poor, wasn't she? She was poor. I hope you don't go on strikes for more money until you get really as poor as you ought to be before you do it. You wouldn't have suited John Baptist, so don't think you'll please Jesus Christ. John Baptist preached, be content with your wages. He didn't say join the union. That's right, you wouldn't even have got into the kingdom of heaven on John Baptist's level, beloved. Leave alone Jesus Christ. He said, give your coat and your cloak away. That's what Jesus said, preparatory to teaching you to give your life away. All that he said on earth was preparatory to Calvary. Understand it. But you can't live what he said until you've been through the cross into it. You go from Acts chapter 2 through the last chapters of the Gospels into the Gospels. That's the way you go in. If you've never understood it before, that's the way. You don't start at Calvary, you start on the day of Pentecost. And you go back through the cross. You can get the benefits of Calvary, but if you really want to live that life, you've got to go through it. Understand it. And understand it well. The rest is hyperbole. And she was poor. He said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out, And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Who set the limit? Who set the limit? Did God? The tragic part about it is in the next verse. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. And she measured her own life. She set the limitations, or they did, to their living. When she heard the man of God say that, do you know what she thought? I wish we'd have got 2 million vessels. I wish we'd have got 3 million vessels. Say, don't be silly, man. They couldn't have got that. I'm only telling you what she would have thought. She didn't know that she was setting the measure to her own life. She didn't know that. She never expected God, through the man, to say, You're going to live according to your own measurements. Of course, he didn't say it like that, but that's what it amounts to. Praise God. Oh, beloved. The oil just kept pouring and pouring. Where did it come from? Who can tell? God. It came from God. Amen. She said, All I have is a pot of oil. That's all she had. Praise the name of the Lord. That she had it. See, it was her husband's pot. In the Hebrew, it's the pot, the prophet's pot of anointing oil. That's what she had. It wasn't a great thing. Don't you think she had a sort of thing as big as Ali Baba's Crocs or something like that? She never had that. It was just that little thing that she had there. And somehow her heart clung to this. She'd seen her husband move in the great prophetic ministry. She'd seen him move and use this oil. For what purposes he used it, it is not ours to investigate at the moment. But she kept that. She thought, I can let everything else go. I can let everything else go. And so the bed went. I know they didn't have the luxurious homes that we have today and keep groaning about. The bed went, and the carpet went. I don't expect she would have had her television to go. I don't expect so. I don't know whether you have. I shouldn't sell that. Smash it. The car can go. Yeah. Yeah. The chairs can go. The table can go. The pictures off the wall can go. Everything can go. And she was left at last with her sons and her pot of oil. And she couldn't let the pot of oil go. And she couldn't let the sons go. Glory be to the name of the Lord. She says, I can't let my sons be slaves to this hellish system. I put that in. I'm bringing it up to date. She says, I can't do it. So she had the pot of oil and she had her sons. And I expect that in her heart she cherished the hope that her son should raise up in their father's stead, should be raised up and carry on the glorious work in this tremendous realm. And oh, beloved, what we are needing today is prophets of the Lord. We are needing prophets of the Lord. I won't say turn back to John 3. I hope your memory is as good as mine. As John 3 opened up, it says this: He that cometh from God and is sent from God speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. It's the prophetic realm. And I expect she wanted her son, her sons to grow up like their dad. What a terrible thing, beloved, that this is the thing she was faced with. But God has brought it down before our eyes to see. It's never God's intention that sons, his sons, should be bond slaves. Praise God. Sold out. Oh, Paul, we find him weeping about that in Romans 7. He says, I'm carnal. I'm a bondslave. That's what you find in Romans 7. Sold unto sin. Sold out. Sold out by Adam. Sold out by Adam to the devil. Glory be to God. Oh, Paul recognized this. And she said, I can't have my sons sold out to be slaves. And she didn't know what to do. What was she going to do? Do you let your sons go, or do you let your pot of oil go? What do you do? I know what she would have done in the last instance. She'd let her pot of oil go before she'd let her sons go. Wouldn't she? Glory be to God. And I want to tell you that God won't let his sons go. Won't let them go. Now then, son, he says, what size vessel have you got? God speaks to that woman. It's God's talking to her as surely as God spoke to Mary when he wanted to fill that vessel with God. And he did it by pouring the Holy Spirit upon her. Amen. And hallelujah, what size vessel have you got? Go on, says God, go and collect all the vessels. Praise the name of the Lord. Go on, as many as you can. Not a few. Not a few. And they gathered in the vessels, and they set them down inside, and they shut the door. I don't know whether I should be wrong if I thought there perhaps might have been 120 vessels there. I don't know. I mustn't guess. I mustn't read into Scripture what isn't there. But there they were, all gathered in, and the door was shut. Praise the name of the Lord. And the prophet had said, now go on. He said, just take your pot of oil and start to pour out. Pour out, he said. Pour out. Pour out. Pour out. What? Yes. Pour out. Pour out. Pour out. Where's it all coming from? It's coming from the heart of God. That's where it's coming from. And he pours and pours and pours and pours. Sets aside the full ones. Bring the empty ones. Come on, bring the empty ones. Bring the empty ones. Are there any empty ones here this morning? Hey? Anyone empty here this morning? Don't you know that normal Christian life is a life of fullness? Don't you know that? It isn't a life of emptiness. It isn't a life of part fullness. It isn't a life of half fullness. It's a life of fullness. Glory be to God. Pour out, he said. So they kept coming and kept pulling, kept pouring. Is there another vessel? There's not another vessel more, and the oil stayed. That's right. It was they who set the limit. God would have gone on and on and on. And she went and told the prophet. And he said, well, go on, sell. Sell. Redeem your sons. And then live on the rest. And we think that was a generous statement, don't we? So it is. God's always generous. The trouble with so many people is that they're resting on the fact that God's been so good to them. God's been so generous to them. They're resting on that fact. But do you think, now I'll ask you a question, what do you think would have happened to us? Where would we have been today if those men that followed Jesus, and Jesus was so good to them, and so generous to them, and so blessed them, and so used them, and allowed them to work his miracles on the earth by his sacred anointing and authority? They weren't baptized in the Spirit, and it's a stupid idea to think that only people baptized in the Spirit perform miracles, because they did it before they were baptized in the Spirit. Let's understand this very clearly. Praise the name of the Lord. If you're reaching into the baptism of the Spirit because you want to perform miracles, you've started wrong anyway. Glory be to God. Miracles are wrought by the anointing, not by the baptism. Remember that. But the anointing isn't like hot fire running down your spine. Or something like this in a meeting. Or getting all puffed up and flopping and flapping and taking big deep breaths and breathing out like hot fire all round you. That's not the anointing. That's the weakness of the human flesh that isn't being guided aright and led by God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But these people, if they'd have said, well, God's been generous to me. Do you know, talk about fullness, do you know, I went round after we'd fed the 5,000 and I got a basketful. I got a basketful. Yeah, but they were only odds and ends. Some people are just filled up with odds and ends. They were odds and ends, what was left over. Anyway, the basket wasn't full. How can you make odds and ends lie so close together that it's just packed out? There's plenty of space in between the odds and ends and bits and pieces. And some people have just got themselves filled up with these guys. They say, oh, God's been so good to me. He's loved me. And I've been following him now for 3 years. 23 years. My beloved. If those men had said that, where would we be? Well, we wouldn't be here. No, beloved, it's God's intention to fill you, absolutely fill you, that you and I might move in these great, immeasurable things of God. Oh, glory. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ doesn't fill you in order that you should feel good or blessed. He's so lovely. That's the sort of thing he does. But he fills us so that we can come into something like this. Let's turn into the Ephesian letter. Oh, it's so precious to recognize these great truths. You see, in the third chapter, you listen to this great prayer of Paul's. You remember the other day I was saying, don't live your life praying the prayers of the Old Testament that the psalmist prayed. Live your life praying the prayers of the New Testament that the saints and apostles prayed. That's the way to live your life. Now here's one of the prayers in chapter 3. He says, I'm bowing my knees, verse 14, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, listen, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Right, now look back and see the directions. These are not dimensions, they're directions. Here they are. Breadth doesn't say how broad. Length doesn't say what the length is. It says depth, but it doesn't say how deep. And it says height, but it doesn't say how high. It just gives you direction. It's going in immensity. It's going in immensity, all around me, underneath me, everywhere. This is what God is intending, beloved. You see, he doesn't say, well, now you can go so high in God, you can go so deep, you can go so far and no farther. He brings us into that which was in the eternal purpose of God for us, beloved, before he even started it all as an earth program. Hallelujah. That we should just be in all these great things of God, the fullness of God. Immeasurable. Immeasurable. Glory. Is that what happened to you? Are you in this? Are you? He doesn't get the Spirit by measure, because he can't be measured. God couldn't say, well, I can give you 100 million miles of the Holy Spirit. You can't measure the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Ghost was brooding upon the face of the waters, upon the deep in the beginning. And from that brooding of the Spirit, moving like a great mother bird over the chaos, the Lord brought out this great universe. It's all in the Spirit in that sense. And when they go up there and they say they're going to land on Jupiter, and they say they're going to land on Mars, and they say they're going to land on this, that, and the other, oh, praise God. They'll be gone years. They'll be gone years. Years and years and years and years and years. I don't expect they'll ever come back. Ah. Have you got this kind of an experience? Is this what you were baptized in? I don't set any limits to God. At least not up here. Bless him. Oh, praise him. Praise him. It isn't just, beloved, that he's in you, but you're in him. You're in this immensity. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel it? Don't you know it? See, I would know this if I hadn't got a Bible. I wouldn't be so well instructed about it, but I would know it. God has come to fill us right up. And do you know, beloved, that which we preach is the gospel, that which we read in the gospels and tell other men of, the immensity of Jesus Christ? Well, it's this. It's this. It's where it's all come from. We are bowed down with wonder at Calvary, but it's all this. We are bowed down with wonder that one man could take the sin of the whole world and destroy it and remove it. Glory be to God. And we say, this is marvelous, Lord, but it's all from this. And that is our way into this. That is this, not this is that. And we're moving in this tremendous realm, beloved. God just doesn't give the Spirit by measure. Amen. Now what then is your capacity? What is your capacity? Eh? If you imagine all those pots that day, when the widow's sons gathered them, I reckon there were big pots and little pots, fat pots and thin pots, figurated pots and plain pots, scent pots and water pots and, oh, all kinds of things, an old earthen pot. You see, it didn't matter, they were just brought in, tin pots, brass pots, all kinds of pots. Beloved, now, hallelujah, they were all brought into this tremendous, glorious outpouring. So it doesn't matter whether you're big or little, it doesn't matter whether you're a bit of a scarecrow or whether you're a fancy person, it doesn't matter, beloved, whether you're small or whether you're large. That doesn't matter one scrap, beloved. The only thing that matters is that Jesus Christ came down on this earth to impersonate you and represent you in His risen glory to God the Father. He came down on this earth to do and be for you what you could never do nor be. He came down for you. And He's up there for you. And through Him, this very hour, the Lord is still giving the Holy Ghost the constant, wonderful ministry of God is to bring men and women by the power and greatness of that work of Calvary to the place where they're saying, Lord, I can't be a bondman, I can't be a slave to self, I cannot be a slave to sin, I won't be a slave to tobacco, I won't be a slave to unclean habits, I won't be a slave to the world, I won't be a slave to the devil, I won't, Lord, I can't be. Praise God. Ah, do you see this? You can't be a slave to yourself and belong to God. You can't be a slave to the world and belong to God. You can't be a slave to pleasures of this age and belong to God. Amen. You can't be a slave to your own will, that you're going to do what you want and you think and be filled with God. You can't be. Praise God. If there's one thing that Jesus Christ did get settled at Calvary, it was self-will. That was settled in Gethsemane before He went anyway. That was all finalized. It's going to be Thy will, Father. Thy will all the way. Here goes myself on Thy will. Praise God. And whatever the cross might have symbolized to others, to Jesus it symbolized Father's will. Amen. And that's where he hung, and that's where he bled, and that's where he died, and that's where the work was done. It was done on the will of the Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. I can't have men and women in slavery. I can't let them continue in this sold out condition where they're powerless to help themselves and must sin. And must go on in the drive and lust of the age and the spirit and the power that now worketh in all the children of disobedience. I can't have it. Praise God. And here's the great arrangement, beloved. Oh God, as though Jesus was the great woman that rose from the dead and took the vial of oil and poured it out, being raised up there by the glory of the Father, says Peter, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever had a seeable, hearable, feelable experience of God in this manner? Have you? To be filled with God. I mark you, you'll live by this. It's whether or not, my beloved, you are baptized in and filled with the Holy Spirit. It will determine whether or not you live your life out in its fullest possible measures. Whether or not that's happened. It isn't that you can say, well, Jesus has been good to me and he's forgiven me and he's blessed me and he's done all sorts of things for me. You think of the times Jesus forgave old Peter. You think of the times that Peter forgave Peter. Jesus forgave him. And you think of that reading that was read to us this morning from Matthew 18, where all those great big men stood round and they're asking who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus calls this little child. And he sets him in the midst and he says, except you're converted and becomes this little children, you won't get done. You won't get. They said, well, we're the apostles. We're all in. He says, you won't be in. They weren't even converted. You say, what? They'd healed the sick. They cleansed. Jesus, read your Bible. Matthew 18, they weren't even converted. Read it. It's astounding. Well, when I let the Bible speak to me, I tell you, I abandoned a lot of all my notions. I preferred to believe Jesus. He says, you're not even converted, none of you. Oh, but they must have been. So they were, superficially and outside. Peter had left his fishing boat and Matthew had left his receipt of customs business. He'd done all this, but they weren't converted. Ah, that'll explain a lot to you, won't it? It's reading the Bible that explains everything to you. You see? Weren't even converted, are you? But they'd been with him into Jairus' house. They'd even been up the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter had had revelation from God. And Jesus said, my Father gave you the revelation. He said that. But he said, except you're converted, you won't get into the kingdom. Shattered me when I first believed that. It took me a long time, mind you. But I believed it. Hallelujah. Glory. That shows you it's not in working miracles, doesn't it? Eh? That shows you, doesn't it? Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus isn't preferential and partial like that. I'm glad he deals with the core heart situation of men and women. I'm glad that though he can take up a man and use him for what he wants, essentially, whether he was privileged to walk with Jesus for 3 years on the earth, I couldn't help it that I was born in 1970. Oh, sorry, I wasn't. I won't tell you when. I'm living in 1970 and wasn't born a Jew. That's not nothing to do with me. I'm just born a Gentile dog. But Jesus loves me. And he's given me the same opportunity. And I can have the Holy Ghost without measure. And I will have him without measure if I'll not allow a measure of sin in my life. If I'll not now allow one measure or one corner for the old man, I can have him if I'll not allow anything for self-will. I can allow him. I can have him if I'll not have the world, if I'll not have my pets, if I'll not have my this or that and the other, if I'll not have these. I can have him without measure. Glory be to God. I can have him in all his fullness if I'll let him have me in all my fullness of capacity. Jesus, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all came up to God this morning and said, Lord, I'm not very big, but here's my pot. You can fill me, Lord. You can feel it. You can say, Lord, I've been made ugly through sin. I've been put to awful and awful uses. But I'm just being an old, discarded, cracked pot out there. But oh God, if you can, it is, Lord, it is. Clean me out, Lord. And we can hold ourselves up to God and gain strength by the Spirit for this. It doesn't matter what men call you. It doesn't matter what they've destined you to. It doesn't matter what they've used you for. It doesn't matter. Glory be to God. It doesn't matter that old Adam was unfaithful. It doesn't matter that the devil's been at work. It doesn't matter, because the great God has come down here. Hallelujah. And he's come to fill you. And he's got to fill you. He's got to fill you. Amen. Don't you hold out on him. Say, well, I'm going to heaven. That's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for me. You say, what, heaven? No. Heaven's not good enough for me. You say, surely. No, it isn't. New Jerusalem for me. That's right. New Jerusalem for me. Praise God. Glory, I want to be one of those that live there. Hallelujah. New Jerusalem for me. Say, the man's got a cheek. No, I haven't. I've got an election. I've got an election. Glory be to God. And I'm moving in on this. Come on, beloved. You've got to be filled with God. There's nothing that can stop it except your own self now. Only yourself. Hallelujah. Come on, son. You mustn't be 1 degree below full. You, I see. Come on then. You come. If you believe God's going to minister to you, you come. Hallelujah. You've got to be full. You've got to be full with the golden oil of God. You've got to be filled with the life of Christ. You've got to be in this immeasurable position that nobody can get your measure. No one. Amen. Amen. If people can measure you, say, yes, I know him. He's just about as big as that and about as wide as that. That's all he is. Amen. You've got to come for God to fill you. You've got to be in this immensity. He does not give the Holy Ghost by measure. If you could measure the gift of the Holy Ghost, you'll be measuring Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. He's come to move everything. Hallelujah. Seems to me you better kneel down where you are. The Holy Ghost is here. You kneel where you are, beloved. praise God and you believe God and open up to God. Amen. Come on, son. You're a bond slave, but Jesus will break it. Come on, son. Your mother won't let you be sold. Come on. Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. Come on. You're not to be sold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Go on. Go right out now. Go on. Move out of your littleness. Move out of the dimensions of your mind. Go on. Move out of your doctrinal prison you've been living in. Move out of it. Move out of it. Move out of the sourness of your heart. Move out of your bitterness. Move out of your prejudices. Move out of all yourself. Jesus is here. Glory. The great filler. He's got to fill everything. Amen. Go on, agree with him. Hand it over. Amen. Jesus. Just believe him. Amen.